The Story of a Soul by St. Thérèse of Lisieux. Chapter 4, Part 2. But I have wandered so far from my subject that I hardly know where to begin again. It was during the retreat before my second communion that I was attacked by the terrible disease of scruples. One must have passed through this martyrdom to understand it. It would be quite impossible for me to tell you what I suffered for nearly 2 years. All my thoughts and actions, even the simplest, were a source of trouble and anguish to me. I had no peace until I had told Marie everything, and this was most painful, since I imagined that I was obliged to tell absolutely all my thoughts, even the most extravagant. As soon as I had unburdened myself, I felt a momentary peace. But it passed like a flash, and my martyrdom began again. Many an occasion for patience did I provide for my dear sister. That year, we spent a fortnight of our holidays at the seaside. My aunt, who always showed us such motherly care, treated us to all possible pleasures, donkey rides, shrimping, and the rest. She even spoiled us in the matter of clothes. I remember one day she gave me some pale blue ribbon. Although I was 12 and a half, I was still such a child that I quite enjoyed tying it in my hair. But this childish pleasure seemed sinful to me, and I had so many scruples that I had to go to confession, even at Trouville. While I was there, I had an experience which did me good. My cousin Marie often suffered from sick headaches. On those occasions, my aunt used to fondle her and coax her with the most endearing names, but the only response was continual tears and the unceasing cry, "My headaches!" I had a headache nearly every day, though I did not say so. But one evening I thought I would imitate Marie. So I sat down in an armchair in the corner of a room and set to work to cry. My aunt, as well as my cousin Jean, to whom I was very devoted, hastened to me to know what was the matter. I answered like Marie, "My headaches!" It would seem that complaining was not in my line. No one would believe that a headache was the reason of my tears. Instead of petting me as usual, my aunt spoke to me seriously. Even Jean reproached me, very kindly it is true, and was grieved at my want of simplicity and trust in my aunt. She thought I had a big scruple and was not giving the real reason of my tears. At last, getting nothing for my pains, I made up my mind not to imitate other people any more. I thought of the fable of the ass and the little dog. I was the donkey who, seeing that the little dog got all the petting, put his clumsy hoof on the table to try and secure his share. If I did not get a beating like the poor beast, at any rate I got what I deserved, a severe lesson which cured me once and for all of the desire to attract attention. I must go back now to the subject of my scruples. They made me so ill that I was obliged to leave school when I was 13. In order to continue my education, Papa took me several times a week to a lady who was an excellent teacher. Her lessons served the double purpose of instructing me and making me associate with other people. Visitors were often shown into the old-fashioned room where I sat with my books and my exercises. As far as possible, my teacher's mother carried on the conversation. Still, I did not learn much while it lasted. Seemingly absorbed in my book, I could hear many things it would have been better for me not to hear. One lady said, "I had beautiful hair." Another asked, as she left, "Who was that pretty little girl?" Such remarks, the more flattering because I was not meant to hear them, gave me a feeling of pleasure which showed plainly that I was full of self-love. I am very sorry for souls who lose themselves in this way. It is so easy to go astray in the seductive paths of the world. Without doubt, for a soul somewhat advanced in virtue, the sweetness offered by the world is mingled with bitterness, and the immense void of its desires cannot be filled up by the flattery of a moment. But I repeat, if my heart had not been lifted up toward God from the first moment of consciousness, if the world had smiled on me from the beginning of my life, what should I have become? Dearest mother, with what a grateful heart do I sing, "The Mercies of the Lord." Has he not, according to the words of holy wisdom, taken me away from the world, lest wickedness should alter my understanding, or deceit beguile my soul? Meanwhile, I resolved to consecrate myself in a special way to our Blessed Lady, and I begged to be enrolled among the children of Mary. To gain this favor, I had to go twice a week to the convent. And I must confess this cost me something. I was so shy. There was no question of the affection I felt toward my mistresses, but as I said before, I had no special friend among them, with whom I could have spent many hours like other old pupils. So I worked in silence till the end of the lesson, and then, as no one took any notice of me, I went to the tribune in the chapel, till Papa came to fetch me home. Here, during this silent visit, I found my one consolation. For was not Jesus my only friend? To him alone could I open my heart. All conversation with creatures, even on holy subjects, wearied me. It is true that in these periods of loneliness I sometimes felt sad, and I used often to console myself by repeating this line of a beautiful poem Papa had taught me. "Time is thy ship, and not thy dwelling place." Young as I was, these words restored my courage, and even now, in spite of having outgrown many pious impressions of childhood, the symbol of a ship always delights me and helps me to bear the exile of this life. Does not the wise man tell us, "Life is like a ship that passeth through the waves. When it is gone by, the trace thereof cannot be found." When my thoughts run on in this way, my soul loses itself, as it were, in the infinite. I seem already to touch the heavenly shore, and to receive our Lord's embrace. I fancy I can see our Blessed Lady coming to meet me, with my father and mother, my little brothers and sisters, and I picture myself enjoying true family joys for all eternity. But before reaching our Father's home in heaven, I had to go through many partings on this earth. The year in which I was made a child of Mary, Our Lady took from me my sister Marie, the only support of my soul, my oracle and inseparable companion since the departure of Pauline. As soon as I knew of her decision, I made up my mind to take no further pleasure in anything here below. I could not tell you how many tears I shed. But at this time I was much given to crying, not only over big things, but over trifling ones, too. For instance, I was very anxious to advance in virtue, but I went about it in a strange way. I was not accustomed to wait on myself. Celine always arranged our room, and I never did any household work. Sometimes, in order to please our Lord, I used to make my bed, or, if she were out in the evening, to bring in Celine's plants and seedlings. As I said before, it was simply to please our Lord that I did these things, and so I ought not to have expected any thanks from creatures. But alas, I did expect them, and if, unfortunately, Celine did not seem surprised and grateful for my little services, I was not pleased, and tears rose to my eyes. Again, if by accident I offended anyone, instead of taking it in the right way, I fretted till I made myself ill, thus making my fault worse instead of mending it. And when I began to realize my foolishness, I would cry for having cried. In fact, I made troubles out of everything. Now things are quite different. God in His goodness has given me grace not to be cast down by any passing difficulty. When I think of what I used to be, my heart overflows with gratitude. The graces I have received have changed me so completely that I am scarcely the same person. After Marie entered the Carmel, and I no longer had her to listen to my scruples, I turned toward heaven and confided them to the four little angels who had already gone before me, for I thought that these innocent souls who had never known sorrow or fear ought to have pity on their poor little suffering sister. I talked to them with childish simplicity, telling them that as I was the youngest of the family, I had always been the most petted and loved by my parents and sisters, that if they had remained on earth, they would no doubt have given me the same proofs of their affection. The fact that they had gone to heaven seemed no reason why they should forget me. On the contrary, as they were able to draw from the treasury of heaven, they ought to be able to obtain for me the grace of peace, and prove that they still knew how to love me. The answer was not long in coming. Soon my soul was flooded with the sweetest peace. I knew that I was loved, not only on earth, but also in heaven. From that time my devotion for these little brothers and sisters increased. I loved to talk to them, and to tell them of all the sorrows of this exile, and of my wish to join them soon in our eternal home. Editor's note: it was on May 31st, 1886, that Thérèse became a sodalist of Our Lady. Marie entered the Carmel of Lisieux on October 15th, 1886, taking the name of Sister Mary of the Sacred Heart. End of Chapter 4.